The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. March is Women's History Month, and it is also the month of my birthday, March 18th. I'm going to turn 78. I can't believe it. Where have all the years gone? Before I announce today's guest, I want to do a shout-out. As we are recording at the Santa Rosa JC, the students are walking out in support of immigration reform. They walked out at 11 o'clock, and at noon they're going to meet at the graduation lawn at the Santa Rosa Junior College and march to downtown Courthouse Square. I think it's very important as adults that we support our young people. This is very important. I mean, when we start looking at all these young people called dreamers and the promises they have been made, and here are students walking out in support of them. So there's a walkout right now happening at Santa Rosa Junior College, and at 12 o'clock they're going to be in Courthouse Square. Well, what a way to start off Women's History Month. To kick off this month, actually, joining me on the phone from her office in Los Angeles will be women's rights attorney Gloria Allred, and we'll be talking about her career and the importance of women's rights and the contributions she has made. In watching the documentary Seeing Allred, I just love this quote, and in my mind, this gives one the insight into who she is. Here's the question. The question that she was asked, what do you consider to be your most outstanding feature? Gloria Allred answered, I feel it's my commitment to making social change. I feel that if each one of us made that sort of commitment to other women, support other women, that we would have social change very quickly. Well, stay tuned. I'm so excited about this interview. And also joining me in the studio is a dear, dear friend who's also here. She's here to make some announcements about what's happening during Women's History Month, but also she's here to support me because I'm just so excited about this interview that I said, come on in, Shekinah, and give me a little bit of support. And she said she would really be happy to do that. Well, I also want to let my folks know that next week I'm going to have a very special guest, Molly Murthy McGregor. She will be on the phone with me, who is the co-founder of the National Women's History Project that was founded right here in Sonoma County, Santa Rosa, California. Well, let's give you a little bit of history here. March is National Women's History Month. In 1987, the U.S. Congress designated March as National Women's History Month. This creates a special opportunity in our schools, our workplaces, and our communities to recognize and to celebrate the often overlooked achievement of American women. Each year, there's a special theme, and women whose lives simplify that theme are selected as national honorees. This year's theme, I mean, this year is just a wonderful, wonderful theme because it's really important that we recognize that we got what we got because women persisted. Not only did they persist, but they insisted. So the theme this year is, Nevertheless, She Persisted, Honoring Women Who Fight All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. Now, a little bit of history about how all this came about. In 1980, the National Women's History Project, NWHP, was founded in Santa Rosa, California, by Molly Murphy McGregor, Mary Ruth's daughter, Maria Cuevas, Paula Hemmett, and Betty Morgan, to broadcast women's historical achievements. Well, I also have to tell people a little bit of history because I was in Sonoma State from 1973 to 1975. And actually, Molly McGregor and I went to school, and I remember it was like it was yesterday. Her were walking across the campus with me, and we were talking about how can we never know anything about women in art, and the first art show came alive at Sonoma State. Anyway, the NWP started by leading a coalition that successfully lobbied Congress to designate March as National Women's History Month, now celebrated across the land. Today, the NWHP is known nationally as the only clearinghouse providing information and training in multicultural women's history for educators, community organizations, and parents. For anyone wanting to expand their understanding of women's contribution to U.S. history. Okay. 2018 is going to be our 40th anniversary of Women's History Week, the week of March 8th, which led to the celebration of National Women's History Month in March. But few people know that since its inception in 1980, the National Women's History Project has been headquartered here in Santa Rosa. And I want to do a little shout out. Molly McGregor will be at the, she's going to be on Thursday, March 15th, she's going to be talking at the Sonoma County Museum located at 425 7th Street in Santa Rosa. And we'll talk about a little bit next week when she's on. Another reminder, on March 29th, in collaboration with Emerge Radio and Women's Spaces, and also the Sonoma County Gazette, The Rape of Racy Taylor will be shown at the Rialto Theater. That's going to be on March 29th, and we'll have more information. I'm going to have one of the producers of that on in about 2 weeks. Well, it's about time to make that important phone call. But I have one more important announcement that I think is very important that folks know about. It's the 8th annual Free Dental Emergency Treatment Day, and that's going to be happening this Saturday, March 10th. It's hosted by Dr. Alec Nelson and Dr. Andrew McCormick. And the reason I'm announcing this and doing a shout-out, because Dr. McCormick happens to be my dentist. And what's happening is it's going to be at 855 Fountain Grove Parkway, Suite 100 in Santa Rosa on Saturday, March 10th, and they'll be sponsoring, like I said, the 8th Annual Free Dental Emergency. So if you have any problems with your teeth, if you haven't had a cleaning in a while, by all means, take care of it. It's very, very important. So anyway, we're going to take a musical break here, and we're going to play a wonderful song. It's called Rise Up by Andrea Day. And you know, I was looking at the lyrics of this, and it's so important because right now women are rising up. You know, and rise, R-I-S-E, means resourceful, insightful, spiritual, and evolving. That's rising. Like we're rising, we're evolving. And you know, when we think about these young people walking out of school for gun control, walking out for immigration rights, it's their future. You know, I remember during the 1960s when young people were on the march. I was part of the Diggers Creative Society at that time. And let me tell you something, the adults like us, I'm the adult now. Back then I was the youngster that was doing the marching and running away and doing all the things that young people do. The adults did not support the young people, and we need to support them. It's their future, it's their world. So a shout out to all those young people out there that are willing to rise up. So let's go ahead and listen to Rise Up, sung by Andrea Day. I'm dedicating this song to all the women who came forward and are speaking their truth and rising up and becoming change makers. When we return, we will be talking to attorney Gloria Allred.
Broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Ooh, mountains, we gon' walk it out.
Bye.
broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter. Rise again.
Oh, yes, the world is rising. Women are rising, and I am rising this morning. For you folks just joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, and I can't tell you, my heart is beating so fast, I want to introduce my guest, attorney Gloria Aldred. Welcome, Gloria Aldred. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate the invitation to be with you, especially now on Women's History Month, and now that my documentary, Seeing All Red, can be seen on Netflix worldwide.
Well, Gloria, I got to tell you something. I watched it twice. I have been watching you for years and years. You have been an inspiration to me, and I recommend that film highly. You know, I'd like to tell my folks just a little bit about you, and also I want to congratulate you. I understand that you were just awarded from the Women's Caucus of the New York State Trial Attorneys Association the Lenore Kramer Award. I mean, that's quite an award, and I want to just do congratulations to you.
Well, thank you so much, and it was presented to me by one of the very first women judges. She's an icon. Her name is Judge Ellerin in New York, and I was very proud to have been awarded that special award, and also to have so many distinguished judges and lawyers attend the ceremony. So thank you so much for mentioning that.
Oh, yes. I did all kinds of research on Lenore Kramer, and it's just really exciting. So let me tell our folks just a little bit about you, and I'm barely touching your beautiful bio, but I want to just give kind of a little bit of an overview. Gloria Aldred was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She earned her BA with honors in English from the University of Pennsylvania. She also earned her master's degree from New York University and her JD cum laude from Loyola University of Law in Los Angeles. She was also awarded an honorary JD from University of West Los Angeles School of Law. Ms. Aldred is founding partner of the law firm Alred, Morocco, and Goldberg, AMNG. Her firm handles women's rights cases more than any other private firm in the nation, and she has won hundreds of millions of dollars for victims. Ms. Aldred also founded and is currently president of the Women's Equal Rights Legal Defense and Education Fund. You know, as we go on, I'll ask you a question about what that fund is. Just a little bit more information. In 2017, Netflix announced Seeing All Red. I just love that name. An original documentary about Miss Aldred and her battles for justice, which launched globally on Netflix on February 2018 after the world premiere in the U.S. documentary competition at the 2018 Sundance Film Festival. In addition to being an attorney, Miss Aldred holds a California life credentials in secondary education and supervision. She taught in public schools for 6.5 years and was elected lecturer at the University of Southern California for several years. She's written many books, but one of her more famous books is Fight Back and Win, My 30-Year Fight Against Injustice. And another one is How You Can Win Your Own Battles. Wow, what a resume. Anything you'd like to add to that, Gloria?
Well, by the way, just a little, my name is All Red, like all blue. that's the correct pronunciation. It's not Aldred.
Oh, I'm although, so sorry.
Although some people do have Aldred when they hear my name.
Well, I love the title, Seeing Aldred. That's exactly how I feel sometimes when
yeah,
I think about
it. Especially if they've, you know, the perpetrators of injustice against women probably dread me when they get a letter from me or a copy of a lawsuit that I have... you know, that I have filed in reference to their clients. But it is all read, like the movie, yes. Thank you.
Well, you know, when I listened to the movie and I read your bio, what was so amazing to me is that I found out that you actually were a secondary school teacher and then you went into law. Can you tell us, how did you make that transition from school teacher to lawyer?
Well, it's interesting, and I did love teaching. I taught in some, you know, high-risk schools. High risk for students because they had not received the best education they could have received. And they came from homes sometimes that were in areas that, you know, that were much poorer than other areas of the city. I taught in Philadelphia in an all-boys, almost all African-American high school. And then I also taught in Watts 1 year after the Watts riots or rebellion, depending on your point of view.
Well, I think I was by the Gloria just to share.
I earned a credential to be a high school principal, secondary school supervision. Then, you know, I had been also a labor organizer for the Teachers Association, which later became the union. And ultimately, I went to law school. I went to law school because at the time that after I earned my credential to be a high school principal, they wanted African-American principals in African-American high schools, and I thought that was the right decision. I could have been a principal in the white area, but I felt that, you know, my contribution really was in the disadvantaged areas, and so I decided to go to law school, and I thought, well, maybe I can make a contribution through education that way. And that's how I ended up becoming a lawyer.
Well, it's amazing. Well, you know,
I say one door closes, another one opens. And, you know, sometimes things happen for reasons that you don't really understand until later.
Tell me about it. It's so interesting. You know, but in watching you over the years, you know, I remember when I first saw you when you were working with the Brown family. And I remember you speaking so out there and so firmly. And I said to myself, that's it. That's the way we women need to do. Where did you get your courage, your tenacity to be able to speak out as clearly and as strongly as you did when no woman, I did not see any other woman attorney that was speaking out as clearly or as loudly?
Well, thank you. Well, you know, I went to an all-girls high school, all public, all academic in Philadelphia, and we were taught to, you know, that we were supposed to be the leaders in the future. And, of course, at the time I thought, well, I can't even imagine that they're really talking about me because I came from a home where my parents only had an eighth grade education. And we never had a car. We only had enough money for food for that day. And, like, I had one dress a year. But I found out they were talking about all of us as girls, that we were supposed to be leaders. And we were told, don't, you know, if your boyfriend tells you he's going to marry you and then you have to work to send him to law school or medical school, you just look him in the eye and say, no, you send me. So we were taught to be outspoken and stand up for ourselves, and I guess that just continued in life because, you know, we have to have an impact on the court of public opinion in order to be treated with respect and dignity and be afforded our rights. And if we, you know, if fear keeps us silent, then we will continue to be denied our rights. And this is an exciting year because we know that women are breaking their silence. They are abandoning their fear. And they are standing up and speaking truth to power, and that's what is really important, and that gives us, you know, the power to win our rights. And so I call this the age, or at least the year of empowerment of women, and I would hope that it'll continue to be the age of the empowerment of women.
Well, you know, it's very interesting with Women's Spaces. We're one of the few actual programs I am committed to having this be a woman's program, and it's been a very, very interesting challenge. Well, I want to ask you another question here. You know, two things. One, of all the high-profile cases that you've handled, what, up to this point, which has been the most challenging and why? And also, talk a little bit about the Women's Equal Rights Legal Defense and Education Fund. You know, talk about that program and what inspired you to start it.
Well, this is 1978, I think, that we incorporated the Women's Equal Rights Legal Defense and Education Fund. It's a nonprofit in California, and our goal is to educate women about their legal rights and help them to have access to the courts to vindicate, to assert and vindicate their rights. And the goal is to bring women into equal partnership with men in each and every aspect of life. So we welcome contributions to the fund, and we set up a PayPal so that people can find out how to contribute. Having said that, I want to say that, you know, as a private lawyer in our law firm, Allred Morocco and Goldberg, we have won hundreds of millions of dollars for victims who have been brave enough to assert their rights. And much of that is in confidential settlements. But we have also litigated many cases, winning three cases in the California Supreme Court and winning in the United States Court of Appeals, California Court of Appeals, many legal precedents. And because we have so many wins and because we have litigated so many cases, we're able to settle many cases confidentially as well, because the opposing counsel in the big defense firms, they know that we'll take it all the way unless they want to do justice sooner rather than later.
Well, you know, talking about justice, one of the things that I found out that I had no idea about, especially in watching the documentary, about the fact that what was inspired, that the statute of limitations that you had, you were able to help remove that for people, for rape victims. And I thought that was just amazing.
Yeah, and this is really important. Thank you so much for mentioning it, because one of the themes that I express in this documentary on Netflix, Seeing Allred, is that what I try to do is move my clients from becoming victims to becoming survivors to becoming fighters for change. And you see the transformation of many of my clients, many of whom, for example, are accusers of Bill Cosby, as they start and, you know, tell what happened to them, and often they're in tears as they fight through the pain to disclose what happened, and then they become survivors because it's an empowering experience to break the silence, and then they become fighters for change in terms of the statute of limitations. Because what happened was, for many of them, they were prevented from asserting their legal claim or filing a lawsuit because it was too late. There's an arbitrary time period set by law, different in every state, different for criminal cases, different for civil cases, and sometimes different for adult survivors of sexual abuse rather than survivors of child sexual abuse. And so for many of them, it was just too late to assert any claims against Mr. Cosby in a court of law. In addition, even if a prosecutor were to find that he or she could prosecute a case and believe that they could prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt, it was too late as a matter of law to file such a case. So what we did is, I like to try to pick a lemon and make lemonade. And what we did was, we decided we're going to change the law, the statute of limitations. And so in Colorado and also in Nevada, we were able to, we were testify with some of the accusers, and then we were able to get the law extended by 10 years for criminal prosecution of rape and child and sexual assault cases. In California, we went for what I call the whole enchilada. What we did was, we decided we wanted it to eliminate the statute of limitations for criminal prosecution of rape and sexual assault. So we testified at the legislature after we found a legislator, Senator Connie Leva, to introduce the bill. And you see that in the documentary on Netflix, Seeing Allred. You see us testifying there. and many brave accusers also testified. And then in addition, I also worked behind the scenes. I also met with the governor's staff, took in one of the accusers to meet to explain why it was important for this bill to be signed. In addition, I wrote an article that was opinion piece that was published in the Los Angeles Times, and I think that helped also. And ultimately, the governor signed the bill, and I want to give Governor Brown credit. It is very much due to him for signing the bill. I wouldn't be surprised if there was opposition from the criminal defense bar, but he did the right thing, and he deserves a great deal of credit for signing this bill into law.
You know, Gloria, I want to add, as I'm listening to you, and I'm just visualizing you. I saw you on the film, how you handle yourself in court, all the different things, the running on a plane, all the things that you do. I just want to divert a little bit. I want to ask you a very personal question. Where do you get your energy? Where do you get your strength and your faith to keep pursuing? You know, the whole idea behind Women's Spaces is it's dedicated to ordinary women doing extraordinary things. And I can't call you an ordinary woman, but we are, or I'm an ordinary, we are, we're just women trying to make a difference. Where do you get your courage and your strength?
Well, I always say that fighting injustice is very good for the health. I get up every morning and, you know, I have this commitment to really appreciate this gift of life and every moment in it. And I just want to, support people who are brave enough to assert their rights against the rich, the powerful, and the famous, against those who have preyed upon them, those who have hurt them. And so empowering victims, empowering women and minorities, including gay and lesbian, transgender individuals who have been denied their rights, that's my commitment. I really consider that my duty as well. You know, you talked at the beginning of the program about rising women. We have this wonderful saying in the women's movement that the common woman is as common as the common loaf of bread, and she shall rise.
You better believe
it. That's what you're doing on your show, and that's what I'm doing every day. It was Fannie Lou Hamer who once said, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." And so, you know, being sick and tired is a luxury that we cannot afford. We need to mobilize, do what Mother Jones said, don't agonize, organize.
That's
what we're doing. Empowerment is very, very important. It's good for the mental health. It's good for the physical health. It's good for the financial health, the political health, everything. We need to move forward. And so this is what we've seen in the women's marches this year and last year. This is what we've seen with a record number of women running for office for the United States Congress and for the United States Senate and for local offices. This is what we have seen as, you know, people go on hashtag Me Too and they tell what they say is the truth about their life. Of course, I've been helping women to tell the truth about their life for 42 years they want to do it. I never tell anyone, you must do it, you should speak out publicly, nor do I say be silent. It's really a question of what their goals are. If they want to protect their privacy, they have every right to do so. And in many cases, it makes sense not to speak out because there are risks in speaking out. But people have to weigh the benefits versus the risks of all the decisions they make. And sometimes the cost of being silent and also not asserting your rights and just living in fear is greater than the cost of, you know, asserting your rights. So I say to women, learn what your rights are. Reach out and find out. People are reaching out now by email, calling me, saying, I want to know, is there anything I can do about this situation? Knowledge is power. And learning about what you can do is good. And then you can assess the benefits and risks of any choice you want to make and decide which one is best for you.
You know, I'm going to adopt a new slogan. Activism is good for our health. I just think, especially marching, it's great exercise. Well, you know,
yeah, it's great. Also makes an impact if you're marching for certain causes.
Oh.
And it's also contagious. You know, activism is very contagious.
Well, talk about activism. I want to just identify the station real quickly, Gloria, and then let's continue here. For those of you who just tuned in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga. You're listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. I have with me on the phone attorney Gloria Allred, and I'm really having a wonderful, wonderful conversation. Well, Gloria, let's talk a little bit about the Me Too movement. And also, you know, how has the Me Too, you know, here you've been speaking out for a long time. I mean, I remember the most heartbreaking experience that I had and when I really felt enraged. And this is what really, as far as I'm concerned, really inspired me when I first heard you was with the Anita Hill thing. I mean, I just could not stand it when I watched that trial or that hearing on television at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and so we've come a long way, you know, as far as from that point to this point. So talk about the Me Too program, how it's influenced you, how it's influenced your clients, how it's helped.
Well, as I say, everybody knows I've been doing this for many years, and women have been coming forward, and this was long even before the Internet. Many accusers, the Bill Cosby accusers, came forward before the Me Too, which is essentially a hashtag, on the Internet. But also represents something very important. And I had women coming forward against Mayor Filner also after we filed a lawsuit against him on behalf of his communications director in San Diego. And ultimately, after we did the news conference and filed a lawsuit, a woman came forward every day for 19 days alleging that she had been sexually harassed by then Mayor Filner, and ultimately he stepped down as mayor of the city of San Diego. In the mediation of our lawsuit, he agreed to step down, which was important. So all I can say is it has a lot of significance for women. They're just tired of being feeling that they must be silenced, living in fear. There are risks in speaking out. I want to say that. It is wise to consult an attorney before you speak out against a rich, powerful, famous person, because some women have spoken out, get sued for defamation because they're accusing people of crimes, of rape or sexual assault. You can be sued for that. Doesn't mean the person will be successful. But it does mean you're going to have to hire an attorney to defend yourself, and most women, most victims, cannot afford to do that. So all I can say is, you know, to those men who say, well, this is not fair, you're trying to blame me or shaming me as career consequences. Well, you know, many victims, frankly, have felt that they were afraid of victim shaming and victim blaming. And finally, they've decided they're going to take that risk. So I say to those men, if you think that's unfair, then help us to change the statute of limitations for civil cases, and then women can have access to the courts, and then you can have due process in the courts once women have an opportunity to have have their claims litigated there.
Well, you know, one thing I don't understand, you're representing a woman by the name of Summer Zervos, who was one of the women who spoke out in reference to our President Trump during the campaign. What I can't understand is why, with all these different women coming out, all these high-profile men resigning, and here we have the president with 16 accusers and this woman, and nothing seems to be happening. Why do you think that is going on? Do you not have any idea on that?
Well, first of all, Summer Zervos is one of the many women who spoke out during the presidential campaign and alleged sexually inappropriate conduct on the part of the president. She, however, is the only one who's filed a lawsuit against the president. And what happened was we all heard the president, Mr. Trump, on the Access Hollywood tapes, what I call the Billy Bush on the bus tapes, and alleging that he could kiss a woman without her consent because he was a star, and also that he could grab her by her genital areas. Then in the debate with Anderson Cooper and Hillary Rodham Clinton, Trump said that he had never actually done that it was just locker room talk. And so then women started coming forward, some to the New York Times, some to me. And Summer was one of them, and she spoke out. After then-candidate Trump was very angry, and he said that what these women were saying was fabrication and fiction and lies, and that he was going to sue them all after the election. After the election, he did not sue them. I called on him publicly to retract and acknowledge what Summer Zerbo said was true. He failed to do so. So 3 days before the inauguration, we filed a defamation lawsuit against him in New York in Manhattan Supreme Court. That case is pending now. The president's filed his motion to dismiss this case. We filed our opposition. He filed his reply, and we argued it early December. We are awaiting the court's decision in this case. It's been approximately 3 months since we argued it, but there are legally complicated issues involved in this case, and I believe that the court is being very thoughtful and that she will issue her decision, Judge Schechter, when she has had an opportunity to review all of the arguments and to write a decision.
Wow.
So we're being patient, and we are awaiting this decision, which is extremely important. And I do commend my client, Summer Zervos, for being very brave. And it takes a lot of courage to sue the President of the United States.
Oh, God, let me tell you, especially one that's so... I don't even want to go into it. You know,
yeah,
we're coming...
I'm sure you will hear about it when the court issues her decision. I'm being asked about it every day by press. But she will do it when she feels she's had an opportunity to write it and to think about all of the cases and review the cases and the arguments, and that's when we'll have our decision.
Well, I never, very rarely have this opportunity, but I would just like you to send my good wishes to her and to say that as a woman out here and listening and watching, that it does take a lot of courage, and I admire it. Well, you know, we're starting to...
And I want to just say that the reason we did this is not for political reasons. We did it because truth matters, and her reputation matters, and women matter.
Amen,
and,
yes.
You know, we allege in the lawsuit she's been harmed. She's been harmed financially. She's been harmed, in her reputation, and truth matters, and that's what this case is all about.
Well, you know, I don't know if you got a chance to go on the Women's Spaces website, but we have the Women's Spaces pledge. Our self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of us. It depends on our relationship with ourselves and our great spirit, however you do it that way. So standing up, sometimes it is a very lonely, lonely feeling, but an awful good feeling once you're able to not only express yourself, but help other people. Well, we're coming to the end of our segment here, Gloria, and oh my God, I can't thank you enough, and I can't tell you enough how thrilled I am to be, how honored I am to be able to do this morning, especially to introduce you to 18 counties here in Northern California.
Wow, I'm very impressed. Well, I hope everyone will continue, keeping on fighting on.
Well, let me ask you one question. I watched you on, I believe it was the Amy Goodman's show. You were at the Women's March, and you were kept chanting, resist, insist, elect. So what I'd like you to do as we end our segment here, what are we resisting, what are we insisting, and what are we electing?
Yes, that was at the Respect Rally, which was the Women's March in Park City in Utah at the Sundance Film Festival. And I said, resist. I mean, let's resist anything that's unconstitutional and any denial of our rights. Resist sexual harassment in employment. Resist rape. Resist sexual assault. Resist a lack of respect for women and for minorities. And insist on respect. And insist on our rights. And insist on passage of the Equal Rights Amendment. And persist. Because you know that you are right, and it's not going to be easy. It never was. So persist, and then elect more women and men who represent the values that we care about, who represent our aspirations and our dreams, and respect for our daughters and our granddaughters and our mothers and our grandmas. We want more women elected to positions of leadership. We want what is just. We want what is right. and we are going to get it. We deserve it, and it's long overdue.
Yay! That's beautiful. Oh, I couldn't have said it any better. Well, the final things that I want to ask you, there's two things. Number one is if you have any final words, anything, any websites, anything you'd like to give. And also, if there's a woman out there who is thinking about a law degree or thinking about going into law, or even a woman lawyer out there who may be sitting in her chair and saying, I don't know if I can speak out against this. What kind of advice would you give them? How would you encourage them?
Well, I mean, first of all, thank you. And I would ask everyone, just go to my webpage, GloriaAllRed.com. When you go there, you can also find ways you can contribute to the Summer Zervos fund to help litigate her lawsuit and pay the cost of the lawsuit. It's not for me. I'm doing it pro bono without charge, but for the cost of the lawsuit. And in addition, you can find out how to contact me. You can see videos and statements of various cases that we're involved in that are public cases. And so I also hope everyone will watch Seeing All Red on Netflix and share it with your friends and your daughters. Finally, I would say to women lawyers, we need you. We need your passion. We need your experience. We need your assistance in asserting and vindicating women's rights and rights for minorities, for gays and lesbians, for people who are transgender. There are many, many battles to fight and to win, and we need you in this struggle. And we also want individuals who are not lawyers to work and fight for women's rights. Contact the National Organization for Women. Contact the National Women's Political Caucus. They need you. They want you. We need each and every one of us to contribute in any way that, and every way that we can. Your time, your money, your ideas, all are welcome. All are needed. And in this Women's History Month, we are making history, and we are making a difference, and we are moving forward.
Well, Gloria, I want to tell you one last thing since you mentioned the National Organization for Women. I just happen to be the president for the Sonoma County chapter here, and I want to thank you so much for mentioning it. Oh, it's just another, you know, how many hats do we wear? You know how it is. Anyway.
Well, actually, I'm going to be honored at the National Convention of NOW in July.
Oh, my God.
So I hope to see you there.
Oh, my God. You know, we can just give each other a big hug and a big shout out. Thank you
right here in California.
Well, Gloria Allred, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces and for being such a not only an articulate guest, but a woman who stands up for other women. I want to thank you on behalf of all of us and wish you all the success.
Thank you so much. And thank you for leading the National Organization for Women chapters there. I began my career as the president of the National Organization for Women Los Angeles chapter for 2 years, and it was a very important experience. So I hope that you and all of your listeners will come to the national conference in July. It's I think it's July 6th. And I'll look forward to saying hello to everybody in person.
Well, thank you, Gloria Allred. Thank you so much for being a guest here on Women's Spaces and wishing you again a wonderful, wonderful day and the best of luck. And if there's anything, any announcements you need or anything happening, please always feel free. I'm always happy to support any effort
thank
that you
do. Thank you so much. Fight on.
And thank Patty for me. She's just absolutely wonderful.
I'll let her know you said that. Thank you. She'll appreciate that.
You take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, I have just been through one of the most exciting experiences of my life to think that I could interview Gloria Allred and bring her to Sonoma County, bring her to Northern California. What words of wisdom. Well, I'm just beside myself, and I'm so excited. We're going to take a musical break, and the song that I'm going to play is very interesting. It's a song called We Are Singing for Our Lives by Holly Near, but I want to tell you a little story. You know, when I first came, I worked for Athena House. I was one of their counselors there. And a man by the name of Joe came in, and he says, anybody here do radio? We got this bilingual station that wants to start a woman's show. And so nobody raised their hand, and I looked around, and I raised my hand. I says, well, Joe, when I went to L.A. City College, I was a journalism major, and I used to do the weather report and the sports, the scores. And he said to me, did you have a microphone in front of you? And I go, well, yeah. He says, well, come on down. Well, that's how I started Women's Spaces here at KBBF all the way back in 1976. And it's been just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And the reason I bring it up is because one of the first songs I played was by Holly Near. And about 25 or 30 years later, I was able to interview her on my television show way back when. So if you ever want to see the interview with Holly Near, who actually wrote and sung We Are Singing for Our Lives, go to www.womenspaces and you can find it in the archive. And I would like to dedicate this song. I'd like to dedicate this song to all the women out there, because we are singing. We are speaking for our lives. We are speaking for the future of our children. When we come back, I'm going to be talking for a few minutes with Shekinah Black, and we're going to be giving a little update of what's going on with women's history here in the area. Yes, we are singing for our lives. We're singing for our future. We're marching for our lives. We're marching for our future. And a big shout out again to all those students from Santa Rosa JC who are marching in support of all the immigrants here, especially the DACA community. I mean, for all these young people, the promises that were made. I mean, we need to keep our promises. Anyway, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my dear friend who's been sitting with me in the studio holding my hand while I was doing that wonderful, wonderful interview with Gloria Allred, Shekinah Black. Welcome, Shekinah. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. That was a wonderful interview with Gloria Allred. What an honor to share that time with you.
Oh, great. My God. It was, I'm telling you, I'm just so happy that you were in the studio with me. And you know, it's really interesting. When I talked to Shekinah on the phone, I says, well, I'm doing this interview. I don't know if we're going to have enough time to get you on. And she says, no, I just want to be there to support you. So I thank you. So Shekinah, tell us a little bit about you. You know, you're celebrating where does time go?
Right.
2.5 years at the Peace and Justice Center. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about you. What are you up to there, and what are some of your thoughts?
Well, I'm the center coordinator at the Peace and Justice Center, and it's a wonderful nonprofit that's been in the county for 35 years now, and I'm the administrator. I do the business end for folks, so we have a lot of groups that meet there, a lot of activities that come incubated out of the Peace and Justice Center, and I'm just really happy to be there and help in any way I can.
Well, you're doing a great, great job. Tell, how did you ever get involved with becoming an activist the way you are, you and your partner, Ron?
Mm-hmm. I think, how can you not be an activist, you know, when you see what's going on in the world? I kind of there's folks that I kind of make fun of sometimes and say, as long as the mall's open and I have my hot latte, then it doesn't really affect me, but it does affect all of us. And so everybody can do something. Maybe you're not a person who wants to get out and be involved in a march, but you can do, you know, contacting Congress people, all kinds of activism.
Write letters to the editor.
Exactly. And on that note, you know, the Peace and Justice Center produces a publication called the Peace Press, and we're always looking for articles, relevant articles. If you have activities going on in the county, please, you know, become a writer and submit something to us. You can just contact me there, and I can explain how that process works.
And it's I just have to throw my two cents in here, because I've written several articles, and it's very simple. They're very cordial. They invite you. In fact, one of the articles I wrote, they called me up and said they did some editing on it. And I said, no problem. Just make it look good. I don't care. Well, let's talk about Women's History Month. You know, one of the things I asked you is just to kind of shop around and see what are some of the things that are going on. So do you have anything interesting to report?
I do. I'm really proud of this county that there's quite a few events honoring, as Ms. Allred said, her story, right? Women's History Month. And the fact that the National Women's History Project started in Sonoma County, and the advocacy there led us to have a National Women's History Month, is a really big deal. It happened here. It incubated in our county.
Let me tell you a quick story. We were walking, Molly McGregor and I were walking down a path going to class together, and that was the first time I even thought of women in art. And she was talking, they wanted to do a woman in art show. I actually have one of the original posters of that art show that they did in 1980.
That's great. It's wonderful. Well, there's several things. Tomorrow, there is an event happening in Petaluma called Celebrating Women's History Month, Extraordinary Women or Ordinary. It goes along with Women's Spaces for sure. And on that panel are former U.S. Representative Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey, Demetra Smith, who's the vice chair of Sonoma County Commission on Human Rights, and Molly Murphy McGregor, the co-founder and executive director of the National Women's History Project. That event is free and open to the public. They're providing free childcare because they really want people to come out and no excuses. That starts at 5:30, and the address is 740 Western Avenue in Petaluma. And then on the 8th, which is also International Women's Day, we have an event at Sonoma State University. This is Social Justice Week at Sonoma State University, and it's called Women in Sonoma County Politics, First Wave, and that is a panel discussion in honor of former Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey welcoming her congressional papers to Sonoma State University, and it's a conversation moderated by columnist Gayla Barron, featuring Lynn Woolsey, Deb Fudge, and Teresa Barrett, and once again, a free event open to the public. So that starts at 3 o'clock on Thursday the 8th.
I want to say something about that. I remember when Lynn Woolsey ran for the first time she ran for Congress, we were so excited. I mean, I lived in Monroe. I don't even think I was in her district, but we were, whatever we had to do, we walked. And also for Helen Rudy. By the way, I want to do a special shout out for former supervisor Helen Rudy. This last month, she was 100 years strong.
Wow.
1 year, and she's still just as beautiful as ever. And it was very, very interesting. She was the first woman, Board of Supervisors here in Sonoma County. So go ahead and continue. We have starting to run out of time.
So I'll do real quick. There's because we are on a bilingual radio station, I want to make sure to mention this event called Las Adalitas, and it's a talk by a Santa Rosa Junior History instructor, Laura Larkey, and she's doing it Monday, March 12th at the Santa Rosa JC Santa Rosa campus, and she's doing the same talk again on Tuesday, March 27th at the Petaluma campus. So if you want to call the Peace and Justice Center at 575-8902, I'd be happy to talk to folks and give further information. Our business hours are Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m., or you can email at peacentr@sonic.net.
Wow, it's a lot happening, Well, what's your thought real quickly on Women's History Month? How do you feel being a woman in 2018, a mother of daughters?
I think we really need to celebrate each other and support one another and continue women's history throughout the year. I know it's not just isolated to one month, but it is really, really important. And it is important that people are rising up, women and their families rising up together.
Well, Chiquina Black, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here with me, for helping, and always all your support for Women's Spaces and for our all the actions that we did. And a special thank you to attorney and women's rights activist Gloria Allred for being such a great guest. Allred is founding partner of the law firm Allred, Mackrell and Goldberg. Her firm handles women's rights cases more than any other private firm in the nation, and she's won millions of dollars for victims, and she's also the founder and current president of the Women's Equal Rights Legal Defense and Education Fund. A reminder. Tell your friends that Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. on Monday evenings. I am so excited to get to listen to my own program. Also, by tomorrow, it will be uploaded on our website, www.womenspaces.com. Please feel free to tell all your friends. You know, the Gloria Allred interview will be there if you missed it and all of a sudden tuned in. Remember, the most important thing is our children are the future. And we must never, never lose sight of that. And here it is, International Women's History Month. Be proud that you're a woman. Be proud of who you are in this moment in time and space. And remember again, our children are future. This is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for watching. Excuse me. Thank you so much for listening. I used to be on television at one time, and I look forward to being with you next time. Remember, next week I will be having Molly Murphy McGregor, one of the co-founders of the National Women's History Project here in Sonoma County, on the air. So I hope you folks go ahead and tune in. If you have any birthdays or any anniversaries or any special things that are happening and you'd like to have it announced over the air, please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com.